Just a few more hours of those omnipresent political ads here in Missouri. The long campaign almost over. Joining me in studio to talk about where we are in the political season's 11th hour are St. Louis Public Radio political reporters Joe Manis and Jason Rosenbaum. Thank you both so much for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
Yes.
I know it's a busy day for you, as it has been a busy year or so.
Yeah,
busy that's 2 years.
Don't remind us, Jason, don't remind us. It's almost over, almost over. Let me start with you, Joe. All the indications are that I have seen, and I think that you've reported, and Jason, this is going to be a Trump state when the voting is counted tomorrow night.
Yes, I guess the only debate is how much.
That's exactly the point I wanted to make, and have you make it is where is the balancing act here? Is it 10%, 10 percentage points?
Well, that's the general consensus, but you know, it's anybody's guess, you know. Yep. what the tipping point is.
And we're talking about down ballot impact.
Down ballot, yes. Yeah. I mean, let's make clear. If Trump, the general wisdom is that if Trump wins by definitely over 10, that he could have coattails because, and that could help Republicans down the ballot. That if he gets less than 10, which is what some major Democrats are banking on, that maybe, and in fact, I just saw a poll today, one of the latest polls today. He was like at 7 or 8. Now, the Democrats are thinking that if they can keep Trump's victory in Missouri in the single digits, that bodes really well for Jason Kander, who's running for the U.S. Senate and in one of the most closely watched races in the country with Roy Blunt, and then could help Chris Coster against Eric Greitens for governor. But one of my caveats is this, though. People forget. In 2006, Missouri got rid of straight ticket voting. Now, they did it for bizarre reasons, but the Republicans wanted to do it because they thought actually it would help them in St. Louis County. But what's happened is that as Missouri arguably has gotten redder at the top of the ticket for president, it's really hurt the Republicans' ability to capitalize on it because people have to go through and vote for every office. And you saw it in 2012 where it was like a V, where there was a lot of people voting for president, a lot of people voting for Claire McCaskill or Todd Akin, and then for governor, you know. The Nixon contest. But then after that, it began to narrow because you got people who were like, well, whatever. They may have gone to the end of the ballot to look at initiatives. Maybe they didn't, and they just left. Mm. And so there's that possibility that there's going to be a lot of votes left on the table, which arguably could help some down ballot people. People are going to be studying. The upshot is people are going to be studying what happens here in Missouri tomorrow for a long time.
Yeah, all races are important. Jason, I think the one that a lot of people are really going to be looking at here and elsewhere is the Blunt-Kander race.
Absolutely. I was actually just in St. Louis County this morning. Roy Blunt made a campaign stop to a room full of volunteers. There's actually quite a bit of people, a lot of young people. And I think that Blunt is counting on not only the fact that he's well-known throughout the state. This is, I think, his fifth or sixth time running for statewide office. He's not only counting on the fact that he has a pretty strong base in southwest Missouri, which is an overwhelmingly Republican area, but I think that he's banking on the fact that he thinks he has a superior organization to the Democrats. And I think that it's going to be a very close race. There have been some who said it could determine control of the Senate, though. There are a lot of scenarios where Blunt wins and the Democrats still take over the Senate. So I'm not really sure it's necessarily crucial, depending on how some other races go, but it might be. And Blunt is definitely playing up to that possibility. Today he said he would be the 51st Republican in, presumably, if Hillary Clinton became president, a Senate that would be run by Republicans. So I wouldn't want to wager a penny on that race because it's going to be as close can be.
Yeah, and the Democrats are having a big thing tonight at the Electricians Hall just off of Hampton, and it's going to have Kander, Coster, and apparently the whole ticket, and Martin Luther King III, the son of Martin Luther King Jr. And apparently he's been in town the last few days to try to whip up African-American support enthusiasm to get, because for Democrats, they have to have a decent minority turnout in order to have any chance. And many are concerned that there won't be as much enthusiasm as there was in 2008, 2012, when Barack Obama was on the ballot.
Well, interestingly, the rally is happening in South St. Louis, where it's predominantly white. So, you know, anyways,
well,
continue.
I don't know. It's also one of the larger union halls. I think that's the main reason they picked it. But I think it's really intriguing to me how much focus at the end. I mean, Barack Obama did a robocall this weekend, which I got at my house for Chris Koster, which rather surprised me. But that's how things are really tightening up in the governor's race. Eric Greitens is trying to turn that around and has put up an ad with the Obama endorsement of Koster on it. I'm not sure if that's a negative, depending on where it runs. I mean, because in Kansas City and St. Louis, that can actually help Koster. Now, obviously, in rural Missouri, it's different. But I think everybody's pulling out all the stops. And then Greitens is having his event tonight, the last stop of his traveling around the state is a little later tonight in Crestwood. So I have not seen, it's been decades since I've seen this much activity by both sides in a number of races the last day before the election in Missouri. It's been probably 20 years since I've seen this.
What about voter turnout? What's the anticipation? We talked a moment ago about the anticipated or not anticipated black voter turnout, but is there a lot of enthusiasm for this cycle that you've detected?
I don't know. It depends on who you ask. I think that there may actually be quite a bit of enthusiasm in rural Missouri. If it's expected to go for as much for Trump as people expect, there may actually be a decent turnout in parts of rural Missouri. I've heard anecdotally that voter registration in some parts of rural Missouri has been up, and that bodes well for Republicans up and down the ticket. I think that this is a pure test about how presidential turnout affects other races. I think 2012 was not really a pure example, because while Romney won the state by 9 points, Todd Akin's absolute implosion affected the rest of the ticket and kind of blunted the effect of a big presidential win. So I think that since neither Greitens nor Blunt has made a catastrophic Todd Akin-like mistake that would mitigate the impact of a big presidential win, this may be a bigger test of whether presidential coattails can help further down the ticket. And I don't think it's a sure thing, because we've seen in other states, for example, in 2012 in North Dakota, Mitt Romney won the state by 20 percentage points and a Democrat won a competitive U.S. Senate seat. So this is the pure test right here.
Greitens has really hitched his wagon to the Trump star, hasn't he?
Yes, I think lately, because in part because he is pushing the same "I'm the outsider, I'll drain the swamp" type of rhetoric that Trump has been doing. So I think
a swamp that's controlled by Republicans. But continue.
Yes, that's true. That's exactly true. Thank you. So I think it's Greitens is hoping to capitalize on some of that. But see, he needs that in part because he has not been doing as well as Koster in rural Missouri. The Farm Bureau is with Koster. The NRA is with Koster. A bunch of the other agricultural groups are with Koster. And, well, it's because he supported the right to farm thing 2 years ago, and B, because some of them say that they don't really know what Greitens' agricultural policies are. But as I said, he's a fresh face. He's had really strong ads. He attracts crowds. So I think he sees the Trump approach as arguably the strongest and the best way for him to eke out a victory.
We don't have early voting here in the state of Missouri, obviously. We do have absentee voting.
Yes.
And there have been a number of casts. What is that, the number telling us, the enthusiasm through the absentee ballots cast so far?
Well, one thing interesting in St. Louis County, because I actually went out there Saturday morning because, yeah. I mean, there's been lines every day, but I got in a call and I went out there, and the line was really long. I mean, it was probably at one point there was at least 1,000 people outside. I mean, it stretched all the way across the shopping center, and the shopping center spans several blocks. This is in Maplewood, where they had set up a special facility just for absentee balloting in St. Louis County. One of the things I noticed, there was a lot of African-Americans in line, a lot of women. There was a couple teacher representatives from teacher groups who were there handing out materials. So I'm assuming, that there has been a special push among Democratic-leaning groups to try to get people to do that, especially if they think they're not going to be in town on Tuesday, or maybe they work in the city but they live in the county.
They have to have an excuse.
Yes, in theory, yes. Although no one's ever really prosecuted anybody. And in some ways, it's too bad. We just don't have regular early voting. But we don't. But the point is, if you work in the city all day on Tuesday, but you live in the county, you actually could qualify. Under, and some people may question me on this, but under the way it's written, because it says that you won't be in your voting jurisdiction, so people could get around that. But the bottom line is there was lots of people out there, and I had not seen that line that long. But when I talked to the election officials, they were telling me, no, it's about on par with 2012. Eric Fay, who is the Democratic Elections Director, said that there may end up being a little more in-person voting, but he's getting fewer mail-ins. And he wasn't sure what that meant. Mm-hmm. He wasn't sure. And of course, this was Saturday, and they still have today. People can still vote by absentee today and in the city or county or other jurisdictions, and they'll still be taking, what comes in the mail. So I think the thing that interests me is it does show that there is enthusiasm. Whether or not it's 2008 standards, I don't know. But on the Republican side, I would arguably say that Trump garners more enthusiasm than John McCain did in 2008.
And Jason, of course, these absentee ballots will have to be counted. And I know that you and Joe have talked about the notion in St. Louis County that this is going to be a slow process.
It is going to be a slow process because of the court decision and the Bruce Franks, Penny Hubbard situation. I don't think that that people can vote via touchscreen or computer balloting unless they are blind or have some sort of disability. So I think that's going to make the process for counting a lot of these votes a lot slower, especially in St. Louis County, which is the largest voting jurisdiction in the state. And it's a place that both Republicans and Democrats depend on for various reasons. St. Louis County is probably going to vote more Democratic than Republican just because there's more Democrats that live there. But a good Republican candidate can hold down the margins, and they usually win. For example, I think in 2010, while I don't think Roy Blunt won St. Louis County, he didn't do particularly badly, and that kind of precipitated the fact that he won the election in a landslide. I think that, Republican statewide candidates are anticipating or hoping that they have a similar scenario, at least in the county. But it may be a while before we know that if they can't count them all right away.
Yeah, one of the things that I was explained to me on Saturday is what they're doing is they got to judge. Okay, because they have to do them on paper, we're talking tens of thousands of absentee ballots that are in envelopes. And they were trying to get a judicial approval to allow them to at least open the envelope before Tuesday so they could have them in stacks. Well, they weren't sure they could do that. Apparently, they got a judge to let them to do that. But they've got these the opened absentees in a room that's locked, and it's got two keys. It takes two keys to open it, one the Republicans hold and one the Democrats hold. So you would have to have at least two people going into the room, one from each party, because they have so many of these. So then what they're going to do is tomorrow morning is start feeding them into scanners. But arguably, depending on how close things are, it could take them more than one day to count all those since they're having to go through scanners. I mean, it's potential that in a really, really tight race, we might not know for a day. I mean, statewide, we might not know for a day or two. I'm just putting that out there just as if people did what. But that's because you're talking 70,000.
So we could see the whole nation waiting for Missouri in the U.S. Senate race, for instance, and something
possibly,
that everybody's looking at.
Possibly.
Yeah. Very possible.
It's possible. Could be Thursday.
That happens occasionally. I remember there was a race maybe 6 years ago in Virginia that was so close and they didn't call it immediately. So that wouldn't be unprecedented. It would be unusual in Missouri because typically the results of statewide races are known by the end of the night. So We may be more like Virginia than Missouri after this election.
And if it's really, really tight, there'll probably be a recount. Now, recounts have rarely changed the outcome, but there have been the...
What is the percentage? It's an automatic recount. It was under 5%, is it?
Or no,
what,
it's
2%?
Like 1%.
I think it's like 1.5%. Yeah. It has to be really tight, but even... If it is really tight like that, it rarely changes the outcome. I would have to say that the margin would have to be like literally 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 in a statewide race for the outcome to change. If it's if the margin is like a few hundred, I've never seen an instance where it changes.
I mean, it got close in the right to farm recount, but it didn't. It still didn't change the outcome. But see, what people don't forget is that in Missouri, the Secretary of State has to certify the election before the recount starts, and that's a 2-week process. So if you had a recount, there's 2 weeks before they can even start doing it. So then you're looking at a month.
You know, all we have to do after all these months, if we prolong this by a couple of weeks, I don't think people will be able to stand it.
But it's not going to affect Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. We can almost guarantee that. In Missouri, anyway. Yeah.
What sort of enthusiasm in general, in bulk, if you will, are you sensing, Jason, for the constitutional amendments and the proposition on the ballot? Are people worked up over these things?
I think that there is a lot of questions about them. One of the anecdotes that I always like to say is that when we're writing our election overview stories, some of our most popular stories aren't on these heated races between people, but it's about what these ballot initiatives do. I think the one that people are really asking a lot of questions about is Amendment 3, which would raise the cigarette tax in some instances by 60 cents and in other instances by what, $1.27?
27 cents.
Yeah. I think that that's provoking a lot of discussion because the bulk of that money would go to bolstering early childhood education, which I think generally people think is a good cause. The problem is like it's being attacked mercilessly. Because it also includes a clause that would raise the tax more on smaller cigarette companies. So those smaller cigarette companies are trying to fight it tooth and nail. There are other elements of the amendment that are provoking opposition, rightly or wrongly, for various reasons. And frankly, I think one of the things that is a challenge for this is a 60-cent increase is seen as a very large increase. I think that the increases in past years have been similar. There have been some which have been smaller that have failed. I know in 2002, I think it was 50 cents,
yes.
55 cents.
Yes.
So it stands to reason if voters weren't willing to approve at times smaller increases, they're going to need a lot of convincing to increase it by 60 cents.
Well, and the fact that the campaign, fair or unfair, is being virtually wholly funded by
Big Tobacco.
Yeah, by R.J. Reynolds. Mm-hmm. And it's because they support this provision, which they sort of engineered to put in.
Sure, because they want to penalize the smaller, the competitors.
Yeah,
the, yeah,
I mean, to be fair, I mean, Missouri is the only state in the country, and that's one of the reasons we're the cheap cigarette mecca, that doesn't have something that closes what's known as a loophole. Mm. And the bottom line is the smaller cigarette companies don't pay the charges that the large cigarette companies pay in Missouri. In other states, they've already passed stuff, and so it's roughly the same. But in Missouri, it's not. So we're basically the last holdout.
Complicating the issue also is the fact the Secretary of State's office has indicated that if both of these, if Proposition A, also a cigarette tax, passes, and Amendment 3, it'll go to court.
Probably.
Yes, probably.
And there's different interpretations of what will happen. Some would say that Amendment 3 would overrule Prop A because it's a constitutional amendment. But we're not really sure. It's very possible that both tax increases could go into effect because I don't think there's any language in them that says that one or the other can't go at the same time. There is a provision in Prop A that says if you propose another tax increase, it goes away, which I think is...
Yeah, but it doesn't... I mean, they're telling me... I mean, this is the Prop A people... The small cigarette companies, that it doesn't affect Amendment 3, but it would affect anything after it. But see, they're not spending any money. They have raised about $6 million. This is the Prop A people. Mm-hmm. And they're not spending any of it to advance Prop A. They're spending it to block Amendment 3. So if Prop A, whether the fate of Prop A is totally up to the voters.
Yeah, and I think it kind of goes with the theory that Prop A was a way of taking away signatures from Amendment 3. Mm-hmm. But frankly, if both of them made the ballot, that wasn't a very successful strategy because obviously people signed both. And that really makes me question of how serious of a proposal it ever was. That was kind of my feeling when it was brought up.
I mentioned the Secretary of State's comment on the potential for court action here, which brings us to the Secretary of State's race, which I find kind of interesting because we've got two familiar names. One is more familiar statewide. That would be Jay Ashcroft, mm-hmm. whose father is well-known, former governor, former attorney general, and Robin Smith, who is better known in this part of the state for her television work here in the city of St. Louis. What are you hearing about that race? Neither has held political office before. Joe, you look like you want to say something.
They're not, I mean, these are two low-profile campaigns, I'll say that, Jason.
I think that Robin Smith's challenge is overcoming the Jay Ashcroft name. While I know that John Ashcroft isn't a universally popular figure in Missouri politics, he is pretty popular among Republicans, especially in Southwest Missouri. And frankly, I've used the word frankly a lot, Jay Ashcroft ran 2 years ago in a very competitive state Senate race against Jill Shoup, which he lost. But that type of experience, I think, prepares him for a race like this where, you know, you have to raise a lot of money, you have to travel, and you have to work really hard. Robin Smith, I think, has a superb broadcast voice, first of all, and I think is very well-versed on a lot of the duties of the office. But she's never run for anything before. I'm not really sure people in rural Missouri know who she is. She has said that the fact that her husband is a former Kansas Jayhawk may help her in Kansas City, and I guess we'll find that out on Tuesday.
Maybe not in Columbia,
but I think that there's kind of a feeling that because Ashcroft has the political name, he may be going in there with a little bit of an edge. But if Trump completely bombs in Missouri, then that would definitely affect that race.
Yeah, but I doubt if that's going to happen.
But one of the interesting parts of this race is the fact it's essentially a one-issue campaign, and that is basically the voter ID issue.
Yeah,
and
the
photo ID.
But neither of them are really doing very high-profile ad stuff.
I just saw Robin Smith that for the first time over the weekend.
Yeah, I think that was like 6 days before the election. I think Jay Ashcroft didn't start his ad buy until late either. I don't think either of them had a huge amount of money. I wouldn't be surprised if Jay Ashcroft spent more in the general election of his state Senate race than the Secretary of State's race, but I don't know that for sure.
Right.
Are we looking potentially at any kind of a swing or an important shift, do you think, in the state legislature? Dominated by Republicans now.
No.
No, because in the Senate, there's only one competitive race where the seat could flip, and that's in Columbia, which means there's not even a threat for the Republicans to lose their supermajority in the Senate. In the House, I could see it going two different directions. The Democrats could gain a few seats, maybe anywhere from 3 to 7, depending on how well their night is. Or if Trump mania goes wild on Missouri, I could actually see the Republicans winning 3 or 4 seats, which would mean that the Democrats would be even lower in their superminority, and the Republicans would probably be able to override basically any veto with the exception of some organized labor things.
I mean, the Republicans would have to lose more than 30 seats in order for the Democrats to gain control, and that isn't going to happen.
There's a better chance of me transforming into a unicorn than that occurring. That would be very, very newsworthy. So not to pour water on the Democratic hopes, but I think even the Democrats would acknowledge that they do not have a chance of taking over the House.
Only a couple of minutes left. Going back to the top of the ticket, I'll start with you, Joe. We have 2 minutes left.
Okay. How
does the state change if Eric Greitens or Koster becomes governor?
Well, if Eric Greitens becomes governor, right to work becomes law probably within weeks. And I think both sides know that. It's not always talked about, but that would be the big change. The other change would be is that Greitens has a very different view of state government. He's never held public office before. So I think he would take a whole different approach. I mean, you could think about the few other states, including across the river, where Rauner, who was a businessman, became governor, or Rick Scott in Florida. I mean, there's been a few of those, and some have worked out better than others. But the point is, and Greitens has said he's going to hire somebody, a chief operations officer, to look at things. Koster will take a more traditional approach because he's been in state government. Koster has made clear that he's against right to work, which is one of the reasons all labor is behind him. Koster also has been advocating for years for Medicaid expansion. And while that's been a dead issue with the General Assembly, because he's a former Republican, there has been talk that there may be an effort to craft some sort of compromise, like what Arkansas did, what Indiana did. People don't realize Mike Pence, who's the vice presidential GOP nominee, they have Medicaid expansion in Indiana. They call it something else, and they have a little tweaks in it, but they have it.
Probably right. Hoosier Care or something.
Okay, last question to you, and it has to be in 15 seconds. Sure. If there are going to be a big surprise in the selection of Missouri, what would it be, Jason?
I think that the big surprise could possibly be that Trump doesn't get 15%, but it's more within the 4-8 margin. And maybe that's because the female vote in Missouri breaks for Hillary Clinton. That's a possibility.
Got to leave it right there. Jason Rosenbaum, Joe Manis, thank you so much. We'll see you tomorrow night, Joe and Jason, and we'll see you on Wednesday. We have a special program planned.
You'll be sick of us.
Archive versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs available for download or podcast, stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. Thank you so much for listening, and don't forget to vote tomorrow. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.